Tonight I'd like to share with everyone here about the presence of God in our lives. There's been many times in my life when I felt the presence of God so real, like I do feel every one of you in this room. And ever since I felt that, I've been looking for it. It's been my question for a long time. Just, God, how do I feel you like I used to? How do I feel that presence in my life like I used to? I've never forgotten that sweet fellowship. I want us to go to Jeremiah, which is the verse of the day. Jeremiah 29, and in verse 13, or we can read it off the TV screen if we'd like. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with your whole heart. The promise here is, if we seek him, we'll absolutely find him. It is a promise from God. But if we seek him with our whole heart, God wants us to seek him with our heart. What does that mean? What does it mean to seek God with our heart? The heart is mentioned 826 times in the Word of God. We know that it's important, right? We know that God is spirit, yet in Acts 30, you don't have to go to these verses, but if you want, you can. We know that God is spirit, yet in Acts 13:22, we read, David was a man after God's own heart. So God attributes a heart to himself. And in Romans 10:9, it says, we are to believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and we will be saved. And then in Proverbs 3:23, it says, above all else, guard your heart, because out of it comes all the issues of life. Right? The heart is considered the seat of our believing, of our mind, of our will, of our emotions, of our understanding and our wisdom. It all comes from the heart. Everything proceeds from there. God looks upon the heart. So I want us to go to 1 Samuel, and in chapter 16, I'm going to read from the Amplified Version. Does everyone have it? But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Our thoughts, our actions, they all come from the heart. I'd like us to go to Matthew 15, starting at verse 18. In this account, Jesus is responding to his disciples' accusers because they were not washing their hands before eating, right? And that was a big deal in Hebrew tradition, to wash their hands. It was a godly thing to do. That's what they did. So in this verse, it says, Jesus says, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile a man. Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murderers, adulteries, fornication, theft, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands, that does not defile a man. So what we think and what we speak comes directly from our heart. In the new birth, however, we no longer need to see God like he's far off somewhere. You know, in the Old Testament, the believers would search for God. They would seek for God. They wanted God. They wanted to be close to God, to have this connection with God. But they did not have God within, right? They had the Holy Spirit. That's great, but they did not have that. Still, God wants us to go. He wants our heart. He wants us to go with him with our heart. I want us to go to Ephesians, and in chapter 2, verse 13, It says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. It is God in Christ in you. God is with us. He cannot leave. He always abides within us. But do we abide in Him? Right? Before the new birth, we could lose the Holy Spirit. And even though David was a wonderful believer and he was after God's own heart, he knew he could lose the Holy Spirit. And he knew that he would not be able to always abide with God, or God abide with him, because the new birth was not yet available. So if you go to Psalms 51, starting at verse 11, David says, cast me not away from thy presence, and take not the Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with your free spirit. David also spoke of God being in the temple, in his house, in the house of God. In Psalms 27:4, he says, one thing have I asked of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon his beauty, in the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. We no longer need to seek to dwell in the house of the Lord. We are living in the house of the Lord. Right? Hallelujah. We are seated in the heavenlies. All right? We go to Ephesians 2 and verse 4. Okay, Ephesians 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So how do we seek God now? Right? We seek to have fellowship with God through the Holy Spirit by walking in the Spirit of God, the Spirit that has been given to us. Many years ago, God answered my heart's desire. God answered my heart's desire, and I prayed that I would go back to Italy. I had waited a long time. I was living in Washington, D.C. at the time, and I had just done the PFAL class, and I was proving God. I was proving God that he could come through and he could answer my prayer, and he did. He brought me to Italy. Well, it was my desire for years to go back to home, right? And shortly after getting to Italy, I started speaking the word to everybody, first of all. I was so excited about God. I started speaking the word to anyone. And pretty soon I was leading two fellowships in my house. I didn't really know what I was doing. I mean, I was a young believer. I did not know what I was doing. Sometimes I was like, okay, God, whatever. But I searched the scriptures daily. And I spoke in tongues daily. And I desired to have that connection with God with all my heart. I would wake up with it, and throughout the day I would speak with God. Just speak with him like I'm speaking with you all. When we walk by the Spirit, his presence is real. And we can communicate with him, and he can communicate with us and reveal to us or guide us. I want to share an incident with you. that happened to me during that when I was teaching God's Word in Italy. I lived in a beautiful house. God had given me everything, and I was outside in the patio looking over at the ocean, or the Mediterranean, whatever. And it was a beautiful villa, and they had other people living in the villa, of course. There was, like, different apartments in the villa. And I was sitting out in the patio, and this man comes up to the villa, and he shouts up to me, and he goes, "Hi, are you so-and-so's wife?" And I said, "Yes, I am." So, well, he asked me to come here because I'm supposed to get something that he owes me. So I just came to get it. And he seemed like a really nice man. And I was there, and all of a sudden I hear God, just like I hear a whisper in my ear. And God says, "Do not let him up." But I didn't listen. And I just said, "Okay, well, God, you know," I'm like, "whatever, you know, he seems like a nice guy." So I said, why don't you come on up? I said, "And wait for him. He's going to be here in about 10 minutes or so. So you can come here and then, you know, wait for him." So he comes up and he sits down, and I give him a cup of tea and whatever. And he starts talking to me, and he said, "Hey, you know, I heard about you. I heard that you're teaching the Bible in your house. And people are talking about you because there's, you know, it was the military, and then there was another set, another was the Italian Fellowship." So he was sitting there, and all of a sudden he starts speaking the word to me. He starts quoting scriptures, and he said, "Oh, you know that the devil and God, they work together, right?" And I'm like, "No, I don't know that." It's like, and he starts spewing out scriptures, and some of them I didn't really recognize. It was an account of where, I think it was to do with Abraham and the way that God spoke to Abraham or something like that. I'm not sure exactly the scripture. I don't remember now. But I remember that he was quoting scripture to me, and he was saying, "So what do you say about that?" You know, and he's waiting for an answer because he thinks I'm this biblical scholar and I know everything, and I didn't. And so I turned with my heart to God at that moment. And I was getting very upset because he was saying things that I know God isn't, right? And so I turned to God with my heart and I asked him, "Please help me." That's all I said, "Help me." In that moment that I said, "Help me," in that same instant, that verse comes to mind: "God is light. And him there's no darkness at all." So I turned to him and I said, "Look, I don't understand the scripture you're telling me, and I really can't give you an answer about that. But I know one thing, that God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all." In that moment, and I've never seen anything like that in my life, the man stands up, and "I gotta go." And I'm like, "Don't you want to wait? It's coming soon." No, "I gotta go." He runs out of my door and leaves. A few months later, I think it was, I found out that he was the leader of a Luciferian sect. Oh, yeah. And he was practically worshiping Satan, right? But he knew the scriptures. And I'm thinking, adversary knows the scriptures too, right? But that verse, that word spoken, all darkness had to flee because it was, God cannot have relationship with darkness. God is light, and in him there's no darkness, right? So that was something amazing. So when we seek to talk, if we seek to talk with him daily, we can go to him with everything because he cares for us. We can talk to him about anything. But God cannot speak with us when we do not abide in him, when we do not walk by the Spirit, because God is Spirit. And we, without him, we can do nothing, pretty much. We have great potentials through the Holy Spirit. You know, it's like Dr. Wilber was saying, you know, if you have this pen but you don't use it, what good does it do? So we have the Holy Spirit, and it's in there, in us. It's always in us. But if we don't use it, it doesn't do any good, right? Jesus illustrates this by comparing the vine and the branches. I want to go to this verse because it was just a beautiful verse that Jesus talked about. In John 15:5. And it says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Someday, we will be able to be with the Father forever. And we won't need to seek for anything anymore. What an amazing day that will be, right? Amazing day. No seeking, he's just there. We're just living with him. And I'd like to close with this verse tonight in Thessalonians 4:16. Starting at verse 16. I think it's 1 Thessalonians, sorry. 4, and starting at verse 16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. Imagine that. Imagine. With the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus shall always be with the Lord. Until then, it's up to us to have a relationship with God and with our Father and with the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we can experience the more abundant life that Jesus Christ came to make available for us. Thank you very much. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you tonight for everyone here. Thank you for the people on the conference call. Father, I just want to thank you for their lives and for blessing them and blessing the people here tonight. Father, I just want to thank you that we can remember each day that we need to talk with you, have fellowship with you, Father, each and every day, and to speak in tongues, which is perfect prayer, God, and perfect communion with you, Father. So we thank you for that, and we thank you for the life that you have given us, the abundant life that you came, that your Son came to make available for us, Father, and that we can manifest that forth and bring that forth to other people which are hungering for your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. Amen.